If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to another episode of Love and Reality Podcast. I am your host, Ricky Valero. On today's episode, we're going to be continuing on into season 7 of Love is Blind, which has been crazy on and offline. If you live in a bubble, maybe you don't know what's going on, and congratulations, because if you do, then you don't realize all of the madness that is happening off the internet. I will say this, the FBI should really just hire some of these TikTok detectives to really hone in and bring some of this drama, because they do often a better job of doing background checks on some of these individuals than what we've seen, I guess, because a lot has unfolded. I won't touch too much on that for now. Waiting to see the reunion. We're going to see both sides of the story unfold for all of these people, but this week's episode is jam-packed with craziness as we are inching closer to 12 days until the wedding. Episode 10 and 11, they kind of give us a little nudge here with two episodes to kind of munch on leading into the wedding episodes. At the end of the episode, I will be giving my predictions on who I believe will be getting married of the couples that are left, right? As always, thank you guys so much for tuning into the Love and Reality Podcast. I greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. Without further ado, before we jump in, I don't know if you guys caught this, but there has been a leak amongst the sources about the Perfect Match Season 3 casting. If you've not heard about this yet, I'm just going to break down the rumored cast as it sits right now. So, if you have not heard, this season, Perfect Match Season 3, will have a blend of Netflix individuals and then other network people, like people from Love Island, people from Siesta Key, people from Bachelor Nation. This is crazy. I love, love, love the idea of intertwining the universes. And like I said, the cast is as follows. We have Justine from Love Island USA, Corey Tyler from The Circle. Guys, remember her and Miles Poppy Fuego, that little on-screen situationship that we saw on the show that kind of fizzled off the air. And then, of course, Hannah, who was in her situationship on The Mole with Tony, is obviously over. And with that being said, those two being split up opened the door for Hannah to be on there. And if you listen to this podcast, if you listen to my breakdown of The Mole, you heard my opinion, and I said, and I quote, Hannah will be on Perfect Match Season 3. And I was right. Juliet from Siesta Key, never heard of that show, but hey, let's go. Amber AD from Love is Blind. If you saw that little video on the internet, you saw a little video going around with her and little Oli from Love is Blind UK, who just coincidentally happens to be on this season of Perfect Match Season 3. Rumored, quote unquote. Rachel from Bachelor Nation is going to be on the show. Don't know who she is, but yeah, let's just bring everybody in here. From Too Hot to Handle, we have Louis, who's making an appearance on his 9,000th reality TV show. He will be on the what is that show called? Come on, Ricky, think. Bandcamp that's coming in 2025. He's going to be on that as well. So pretty crazy he's going to be on that. And then this, we have Lucy and Holly also going to be on the show. Holly making a return not Holly making a return. Who is the making a return? I don't remember who's making a return. Naomi and Olivia from Temptation Island. Now, for those of you that are reality TV people, know what Temptation Island is. It aired back on Fox a long time ago. It was re-picked up by the USA Network, where they aired, I think, two seasons recently. They aired one last year. Netflix actually purchased the rights to Temptation Island. It's coming to Netflix. I think it's going to be the first quarter of 2023. But two individuals, Naomi and Olivia, who are on that show, are going to be on this show. So definitely interested in whether they're going to be the singles on the show or they're going to be one of the people in the relationship. All right. Jalen from Too Hot to Handle is going to be on the show. Scott from Love Island. Carrington from Love Island USA, Blake from Bachelor Nation, Ray from Love Island USA, everybody's favorite Love is Blind UK person, Freddie. Freddie's going to be there. Freddie's going to be on there. And there is a rumor of a Perfect Match Season 2 returnee that's not Harry Jossy. And then somebody from the Love is Blind Season 7 cast. Now, who will that be? That could be debatable, and we'll dive probably into that, who I believe we can see in that in just a little bit. But that's out of the way. Let's go ahead and dive into this week's episodes of Love is Blind. Ramses and Marissa are having a chat. Things are starting to be flip-flopped here. Their 3 to 5 year time frame for babies switched when they were talking about the pods, and it's bothering him. And the thing about this is he's all like obsessed with the idea of not wearing a condom when he has sex, right? We have that whole conversation kind of unfold. And it's this switches now. It's like she's not saying, hey, let's have babies, but she's also saying, like, hey, you know, I don't want to get on birth control. And like, she's sick and this was awkward and he wants to have sex and wants the physical intimacy. He wants to ensure that that's matching things with what is happening and what's the future looks like in that. Like, I thought these two, like, what does he need? Like, does he need to be, you know, getting it on every single night? I'm very confused by this entire conversation. I thought they made it clear that they were banging boots in Cabo, which he did. He wants to make sure it's quote unquote right, which is absolutely insane, right? She's confused. I'm confused. She brings up postpartum depression. If she gets cancer, why wouldn't he venture off and cheat? All valid points, because he's like, well, the sex is very important, which of course, like, sure, sex is physical intimacy is an important part of the relationship, right? However, why are you questioning things and double taking and doubling back on? So you just want to have more sex here just to verify that I want to continue to have sex with you for the rest of your life. I don't know. I just feel like Ramses is kind of falling off for me and how he's handled things. There's a lot of things that I do think that he says it is correct or even strongly agree with, but he's falling off. And it just, to me, like, another one's going to bite the dust here. I don't know what's going to happen here, but Alex and Tim, she's meeting Tim's folks. This was a sweet little moment. He did say there's little things that stand in their way. He isn't as affectionate nor wants to be, but is trying to kind of navigate that. We move on to my favorite couple, Ashley and Tyler. Probably some of you at home are like groaning because you've kind of read what's going on the internet, but we're just going to cover what happened on these episodes. She said she's disappointed in him and trying to navigate things. She wants to know more about the situation. He says a close friend wanted to have a baby, so her and her partner couldn't have a baby, and he felt good. God sent him a sign, so he wanted to help. She said, we can take this hour by hour. And she said she will try. Now, at the time I watched this a few weeks ago, I will say I was thoroughly still kind of confused by what transpired, right? Because if the situation was as stated, it was kind of confusing. Okay, like, hey, he's saying that he's not, doesn't see the kids. They're not in his life. Hey, I was a sperm baby, sperm donor, et cetera, et cetera. Like, that's not a terrible thing. But, you know, it's crazy right now. Taylor and Gaylor, they're going to have letter writing station at their wedding, which I thought was cute as fuck. I really like these two. Her mom's still 50-50 and coming. Hannah and Nick, these two are about to do some bungee jumping place. They both got their family support, which he liked. And she's like, She was all like, "It's my decision." And she asked if he was ready to get married, and he said yes. She wants him to take initiative. She nitpicks this man to death. He said he wants to be treated as an equal, and she said you get treated like the one when you get treated like one when you contribute as one. And that was one of the most fucked up things I think I've ever heard anybody say to another person in their face. That is just not how relationships work. It's not really surprising that these two seem destined for a breakup here. All right, Marissa and Ramses, they're planning on wedding day. She wants them to sit to all sit together. He seems super happy, so I'm assuming they knock some boots. He said himself at the altar, he sees himself at the altar saying yes. Definitely an interesting, weird thing. Now, here we go with another strange situation where we go from a happy conversation to the dramatic music that Love is Blind has been plaguing us for the last few weeks. Okay. This season has done this way too much to us. All right. Way too much. He wants to talk to her. He said, "I got a lot to say." She's trying to sit down and eat some chicken tenders or chicken nuggets or whatever it was. And she's like, he's like, "Well, why don't you come over here onto the couch so we can have this conversation?" He said his family drove 10 hours to visit. She decided to go to sleep. He didn't find that okay. And she responded by saying she was exhausted and needed a nap. These two argue. He said, "Can I speak my truth? And you speak yours." He said he didn't feel like he got the responsiveness from her that he wanted. She wanted to talk on her time and not on his time. Very. Where did like Tim like him? I think I still like him. But also, I feel like they should have just split up in Cabo. I feel like these two should have never kept on going. You know what I mean? Especially the conversation that he had with her father. You can't have that conversation and probably know in the back of your head that you guys are breaking up. That's the one big problem I have here with Tim. My big problem here with Tim is this. Why are you having this conversation right now? Why are you not having this conversation prior to the conversation with her father? You literally asked her father for her hand in marriage. He's like, "You're welcome to the family, bro." She kind of gives him the business about the entire thing. I see her side of stuff. She said, "If it means something, say something." Again, you're right. I can't, especially when you're exploring a relationship in this early stages of a relationship, you're trying to explore things. How are you going to be exploring things when you don't even know when the other person's even trying to like give you something in return? So like, I understand like his frustration. I still think he's stuck on the Cabo situation and how she talked to him. And I think that never really got out of his head and really never navigated that. He said, reflecting on what he wants from a wife between them, it is a no. And he said, "I've made up my mind, period. Like, end of story." She goes the fuck off on him, saying, "It's been 2 days since you met her father." Again, that's where I have an issue with Tim. That's my issue with Tim. 2 days ago, you're convinced we're getting married because you're going to sit down and have a conversation with her father. What are you doing that for? Well, who was that for? That's the question I want to know. Who was that conversation for? Because if it was for show, congratulations, we loved you for that moment. However, now we are 2 days later. You can't explain to me what happened, that this was 2 days of bullshit. You can't. It doesn't work for me. Another one bites the dust. He said, "I'm glad we agree. I never want to see you again." Wow. Can't wait for the reunion for these two. Ever since she snapped in Cabo, it's been a wrap. I don't understand. Taylor and Garrett are heading to San Diego in the morning to meet with their family. We are about to get our mix and mingle with the other castmates. The couples arrive, but before they come in, Taylor and Garrett are about to enter the party and something happened. Dramatic music. He got a text message from someone in his past. He saw the text message, liked it, and didn't acknowledge it, and she's kind of mad about it. Do not fuck this up, Garrett. You do not fumble this bag. This is the greatest thing that's probably ever going to happen to you. Do not fuck it up. Tim arrived alone. Alexis showed up. Alexis is running Tim down about breaking things off after shaking her dad's hand, which, I mean, more power to her. Ashley told him about Tyler having the sperm donor kids. Interesting. Monica has arrived and she said that her and Steven talked through everything and he said he's a good person, but fucked up. That's good. All right, I'm good. Good for them, right? You know what I mean? Like, we can be wrong adults about this. And I don't disagree. Bowden has arrived. Marissa is seeing him for the first time. Katie has arrived. Hannah brings her right over to meet Nick, who they had a pod relationship with. So she wants to get all that. But he's kind of smitten. She's kind of smitten. That's definitely interesting. Garrett responded to the text message, apparently, which is different what he said to Taylor earlier. What in the world is happening? Garrett is fucking things up left and right here at this party now. Marissa and Bodum have a little chat. She said she made the right decision, and seeing him confirm that. Love that for her. Nick D is running Nick, or Hannah is running down Nick D and his sacks. He doesn't go down on her. Nick, sorry, man. Like Nick, I'm a big fan of Nick. I've had conversations about Nick. I think Nick's getting a little beaten down. I think people are seeing that, but brother, you gotta step up to the plate, man. You gotta step up to the plate. All right, Nick and Katie are speaking. Monica and Hannah are kind of looking at them, have the conversation, and said, she said, should I kill her? Katie kind of laying it on thick with Nick. He said, I can look into your eyes and see your beautiful souls. And you will make somebody happy one day. She said the maturity is why she dropped Nick. She said he leads with his charm and charisma and needs to lean in with himself. I agree with that. On the surface, I think Nick seems like a dick, but he's really grown on me. I think he's a good guy deep down. He just needs, you know, a little bit of guidance. And I think Hannah's trying to do that, but I don't think she's doing it in a respectful manner that's trying to help somebody grow. You know what I mean? Taylor and Garrett, she is pissed at him. She's had the story changed and she's like, what the fuck? You fucked up. She said, she's needed to be 200%. She isn't 200% anymore. She said, it's too many red flags. It's episode 11 now, where we switch to Hannah grilling Nick about his conversation with Katie. It's her best friend. She wants to know why they talked for over 40 minutes. I turned a boy. And then just Hannah she just talks funky to this man. Like, she's like, I turned a boy into a man. Hannah just said that to Nick. She said she's so stressed out that she hasn't shown her fun side to him yet. Her best friend Katie said he was hot 3 times. Why the fuck is she mad at him for that? He didn't say anything. She literally called him that. Oh, he's hot. Well, that's her fault. That's not really a good best friend, is it? I mean, it'd be like, oh, yeah, hey, man, like you got a keeper. You got a keeper. Nick's a cute guy. That's where it lies. How is it his fault? Right? How is it his fault that she kept on saying that? He said he respects her and told Katie that he was happy in a good place with Hannah. Like, what is she talking? Like, I don't understand. She said, I wanted to have fun tonight. He says, I don't know. He said, I don't know who ruined it. It wasn't me. That's one of your best friends. Why are you grilling me about it? Exactly, Nick, bro. Exactly. We are in San Diego, California. I guess they talk the talk. Right. And his reaction to his ex made her feel like shit. She wants today to be a happy day as he's meeting her parents and family. She says she isn't 100% on the wedding situation as she was 24 hours ago. They didn't film the entire thing. We got a small clip with her and her family because they don't want to be on camera a whole lot. And they are able to kind of describe their dynamic. Ashley and Tyler are go-kart racing. She said the shock has worn off. She began to think about him and she wants him in her life no matter what. She said, we are getting married. We're back on track. She said, any more cats come out of the bag, she's gone, which is funny. Scary. Did it really happen? Marissa and Ramsey, they're filling out their marriage certificate. He forgot her birthday, which was kind of insane. I still don't think they're getting married regardless. 8 days into the wedding, Nick and Hannah time. He said, sometimes he comes across as flirty. She said he felt his personality is flirty. I don't know how I feel here. He is meeting her friend. He said, I got flaws, but doesn't mean I don't love you. Exactly. She brings up the duck again. They spill it all on the line about their problems in front of their friends. Hannah said, if he doesn't say yes, they won't proceed. She's getting her friend to gang up on this man. They're like, oh, walk the dog, pick up around the house. My guy said he wants to get there, but he's trying. I don't know here, man. Like, run. It really pisses me off. This thing, again, Nick was somebody that I thought was like, ah, man, this is like an arrogant dick. And now I'm like, Team Nick, like, what are we doing here? Like, I don't understand the situation here. I don't understand the dynamic. I don't understand what's going on. It really annoys the piss out of me. Like, I cannot tell you how much it annoys me that she is just chastising and belittling this man. Taylor and Garrett time, she has arrived for the wedding dress try on. Her mom said, she pulled her dad off a ledge and said, they're inviting us into this chill out. I love Mama Fong. I loved her. I love her being there for her. Hannah wrote a speech for her to try on dresses. She says, Nick does Match, does it match her intellectually, personality, and her friends didn't like him. Hannah didn't arrive at the wedding. Hannah was wrote a speech to try on dresses. Hannah didn't arrive at the wedding dress situation. She was supposed to be there, but she wrote a speech to the girls that were there. We get a lot of lovey-dovey moments, trying on the tuxes and dresses, which is super cute. And here we go. Nick and Hannah. She said she's trying to push him to become better. Respect, delusional, social awareness, confidence versus ego, maturity. We are listing all the things. She said she hasn't changed. He hasn't changed at all, which is bullshit. Because as somebody that's watching the show from the outside, again, my thing is this. I understand this is edited, right? Like, because the whole Ramsey thing. Ramsey said the conversation's a little bit different. It's going to be aired out during the to the reunion and stuff like that. I understand all that stuff, right? However, the problem is you can visibly see a man changing on the screen. Even edited together, you can see Nick has changed his ways a little bit. Not everything, but he's getting there. He said, "I'm sorry you feel that way." He said, "We aren't equals." Exactly. She likes to throw up that folks are paying for his things, like she has to run this man down. Again, so this is my thing, okay? And I'm going to say this, and this is how I feel about the situation, okay? Nick's 28 years old. Yeah, sure. His mom, dad, blah, blah, blah. This economy, there's a lot of money. You know what I mean? There's a lot. It costs a lot of money to do a lot of things in this economy. But he said, "I was trying to chase a professional career. It didn't work out the way I did. My mom, my parents had an opportunity for me to move in and kind of get my shit together." He even said in a TMZ interview that he moved into his own house this year. Great for him. But there's nothing wrong with him going back to the home situation to get his life back together, to get back on track. There's nothing wrong with that. If you have that opportunity, there's literally nothing wrong with it. He calls her out for saying that you are bashing me. And I've been trying to, I love you and I want you so bad. And when she takes the rose colored glasses off, she sees it for what it is. He said he didn't want to look bad. And it's because she is grilling his ass and treating his ass like shit. She tells the cameras that she feels manipulated and weak. He hasn't been open or honest. Doesn't know if this is real or not. She tells him we are not going to get married. And she asks how he feels. And he said, one of the worst feelings of his life. He said, maybe I could have done a better job. I feel bad for it. He said, I feel bad for it. He said, I'll never not think of you. You'll always be in my heart. He tells the camera he was willing to make it up to the last minute. He said he didn't come this far. She said she was worried about him being a no. And I think that's where it's interesting. I definitely do agree with that. So down goes Steven and Monica, Tim and Alex, Nick and Hannah, and of course, Brittany and Leo. So we're down to Ashley Tyler, Garrett Taylor, Ramsey, and Marissa. All right. Ramsey and Marissa continue to fight about everything. These two are not going to get married, period. I know she don't believe it's going to happen. We'll talk about it at the end of the episode, but she's got a million things going on and passing the bar, getting married. She thinks he could help a little bit more. He said he finds it hard to find the energy, but she understands it is important because it's their wedding. She doesn't want to carry the mental load on everything. Exactly. Why? If you have time, you have the opportunity to take the extra step right now while she's trying to do 50 million things and provide for your future together. This is your future together as a married couple. Whatever. Ashley and Tyler are about to jump out of a plane. She's always wanted to skydive before she got married. So here we are. I love this. I love they both slate it. They go on a little picnic. They're cute together. He said, I wasn't lying in the pods. I told you I would do it. Talking about jumping out of a plane. He said his biggest fear in life was heights and he did it to jump for Ashley. Very cute moment. And then they start talking about her having a baby and all she's got to do is shoot the club up, which is a hilarious comment, which I'm sure will be something there for people at home. Garrett and Tyler, or Taylor, they have a cute little date in this like science looking place. They jokingly argue about mustard not being kept in the fridge. I am Team Taylor. Mustard goes in the fridge, period. She said she is sure and certain and incredibly happy. Yes, please get married. Let's see here. Right before the end of the episode, Ramses and Marissa are sitting down and chatting. Do we have another off-screen fight we didn't see? Who knows? He said he doesn't want to lose her, but he goes. But he said there's other things he's got to work on and doesn't know what direction to go in. I guess he talked to other folks and now he's all confused in his head. She said, I want to marry you, period. End of story. So this is the stuff that I got mad about with Tim, too. We're wishy-washy. Wishy-washy. 1 minute here, 1 minute there. 1 minute there, 1 minute there. 1 minute here, 1 minute there. Period. Why are all the men on this show, outside of Garrett, who did something stupid, why are all the men outside of Garrett a bunch of morons when it comes to the communication factor? Frustrating. That was a cliffhanger. We have three couples left. As I mentioned, we have Ashley and Tyler, who I 1000% think are going to get married. Whether or not they're still married for the extracurricular things that we've seen unfold off camera. Definitely interesting to see what happens in that with the reunion. If they do, in fact, get married, Garrett and Taylor, I will say I feel 70-30. Felt really confident before Garrett went out and did some stupid stuff. I'm 70-30 on these two. Ramses and Marissa, I'm not even sure these two make it to the altar, to be honest with you. But I could be wrong, have been wrong before. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. Who do you think's getting married? Who do you think's not getting married? I'd love to hear that. This season has been crazy. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about the season. Like, do you think the season's good? Do you think the season's bad? I don't even know anymore. Thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode of the Love and Reality Podcast. We'll be back next week breaking down the finale, the wedding finale of Love is Blind Season 7. Talk to you guys later.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.